Hear a prayer for illumination before scripture. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The first scripture is taken from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. That is huge, huge, huge. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Phipar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. The word of the Lord.
Turning also to the New Testament, the 10th chapter of Luke. And once again, this is one of those things where they left a part out, and I'm going to read it. because my experience is they leave stuff out because it's kind of yucky. I don't know how else to put it. That's not a good theological word, but I'll tell you, this is a part they didn't want us to hear or were afraid of or whatever it was. Okay, starting with the first verse. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest upon that person. But if not, it won't return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter town and they do not welcome you, go out to its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet, know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Now, this is a part they didn't want us to hear. "I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades." Now, picking up with the part they wanted us to hear. "Whoever listens to me and whoever rejects you, whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me, and whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. That story from the Old Testament would make good reality TV, you know? That's quite the story. And if you look at it as a drama to be seen or played out, the lead in that story belongs, at least in terms of what we see, to Naaman and Elisha. The servant girl and the other servants were a part of what we would call the supporting cast. No doubt the focus of this story, the thrust, is Naaman's healing. But then you think about it. How did that happen? How did that come about? A slave girl. Somebody over whom ultimately had the power of life and death, because he could have her done away with. A slave girl told his wife that there was a prophet in her own country who could heal him. And as they say, the rest of the story is history. for the results of her believing and speaking about God's power led to Naaman's healing. Now, the other servants played a role too, because Naaman got on his high horse and got angry because he was so important and there wasn't anything important being done, and he just told, go wash. But the servant said, wait, you know, if he told you to do something complicated, you'd have gone through the rigmarole, right? All he said was, go wash, and he did. And he was healed. Now, there's that story in front of us, and there's this passage from Luke. Where do they intersect? There's several points, but the point of commonality I want to lift up today is that both involve people speaking out and speaking up about the living, loving God they knew and trusted. That happens in both stories. Now, certainly, the disciples were sent, in contrast to the slave girl who had been captured and brought there. Disciples clearly had more opportunity to have learned about God as they traveled with Jesus. At the same time, the disciples and the servant girls had given to them the opportunity to speak up and speak out about the wonderful God they knew and worshiped. Now, I said, okay. I began to think about this in congregations I've known and had some dealings with, and I realized how little speaking up and speaking out goes on in most of the congregations I know. So in my head, I began a conversation with Wilmer, my imaginary friend, functionally an everyman, or maybe a straw man, to see what Wilmer would have to say in defense of himself about why there was no speaking out and speaking up. Wilmer didn't have much to say, so I invited him here today.
He is invisible.
So he will sit on this chair. Meet Wilmer. Now, Wilmer wasn't very good at telling me why it was he wouldn't speak up and speak out. What might that be? Help me understand. What? Tell me. This is not a rhetorical question. What do you think is going on with Wilmer that he won't speak up and speak out?
Thinks you might laugh at him.
What else? Scared, I heard.
Shy.
Other reasons? Doesn't know what to say. Pretty awkward. It's a kept secret on my part. They might come with a white coat. No. Afraid of what people will think.
And he's afraid of offending.
Afraid of offending. Other reasons he might not speak up and speak out? Yeah. Really afraid of the reaction people are going to have to what he might say. Other reasons you can imagine he might not speak out. Not convinced it even would make a difference, huh? Now, I'm not trolling for a right answer. I have no clue what that is. Okay. Yeah.
He's afraid he's going to have to do something more than talk.
Okay. Okay, big talker, come on and do something kind of thing.
All right. Other thoughts?
He's ashamed.
May I ask of? What might he be ashamed of?
Different
having different thoughts, not fitting in. Yeah. Any other reasons? He wore different shoes. Okay. Yeah. Lack of self-confidence. Okay, I'm going to ask you to change hats right now. You've been an analyst of sorts talking about what may happen. Do you remember Ann Landers? Who remembers Ann Landers? Gave all sorts of advice about how to take care of stuff. Huh? You don't know who that is? You may be lucky. Dear Abby, they were advice columns in the paper where they'd write in, my boyfriend does this, and they get a response. Okay? Most of us know who. The invite is for us to be Dear Abby or Ann Landers, and what advice would we give Wilmer about how to speak out and speak up? What advice would we have to help him overcome the fear, the shyness, the uncertainty? What would we tell him? Do not be afraid, okay? It gets easier if you try, okay? Other things. Okay. You're in good company. Jesus, yeah. Jesus sort of didn't worry about what people thought about him. Others? What other advice would we give him? Yeah. So take a risk, take a chance. Yeah. You're entitled to your opinion. It's okay to say what you want to say.
Get older. It's easier as you get older to speak up and speak out.
Okay. I wish I knew how to have advice that said, don't get older. You know? Okay. Yeah. Okay, God loves you. No matter how it comes out for you, the one important thing in life, which is God's love, you will not lose. What else might we say to help Wilbur? A lot of advice, yeah. Your thoughts are as important as mine or anyone else's. Okay. Now, yeah. You're always entitled to your own opinion. Yeah.
Maybe God is going to use you to get this important information out to other people.
Think what might happen. God can use you. Okay. I have two questions left, and I don't want you to answer them out loud. The first one is, how much are we like Wilmer? How much are we like him? How much are we like him? And what if our advice that we've given him would help us to speak up and to speak out? Amen.